Irving stood in the huge clown mouth that formed the entrance of Luna Park, jaws three times as wide as he was tall. Eulalie waited, looking up at him, a cloud of pink fairy floss in her left hand. She was trying to tell him something, but he had a hand up, trying to stop her from speaking while he read the weather reports on Retina. He'd placed a series of bets on temperature and precipitation ranges in southeastern China, and the official results were just coming in.
"Fuck it!"
he yelled.
"Daddy?"
"Fuck, fuck, fuck."
"But Daddy..."
"Not now, Eulalie."
"But Daddy, I want to go."
"Not now, damn it!"
he screamed. Eulalie jumped, dropping the floss to the ground. Tears welled instantly. Ondine had walked ahead, not realizing that he and Eulalie had stopped. Now she returned just to hear the end of him yelling. She seemed to be in shock for a few seconds, standing there, her smooth skin glowing in the blinking neon backwash of the amusement park.
"Jesus, Irving,"
she said, picking her daughter up.
"Quiet,"
he hissed, eyes unfocused as the massacre of his wagers scrolled down on Retina.
"Quiet?
No, I'm not."
He tuned her out, her words background static to failure's sting. He clenched his teeth as the news got worse and worse, and as Ondine's criticisms started to cut through his concentration.
"Enough!" he yelled. "Enough of your nagging, enough of your complaints."
She put a hand over her daughter's ear.
"Not in front of Eulalie."
"Eulalie,"
he sneered, focusing now on wife and daughter.
"I hate that name. Where did you get it? Top 10 hippest new names for children in the Huffington Post?"
Ondine's mouth popped open, struggling to get out a reply. He didn't let her.
"No. Time for me to speak now. Time for me to speak."
He jabbed a finger at her with each word.
"You never support my business decisions. You never listen to me. All I get from you is scorn and derision. You didn't even let me have a say in our own daughter's name. Eulalie? What sort of ridiculous name is that?"
The steam started to leave his delivery as he watched the reaction of his wife and daughter. Eulalie, head buried in her mother's shoulder, sobbing. Ondine, her perfect skin creased with contempt.
You don't understand,
he stuttered, his rage train coming off its rails.
"I understand, Irving."
"Don't look at me like that."
"Lose another bet, I take it?"
"It's not that simple."
"Oh, it is, Irving. It is exactly that simple,"
she said, her voice a terrifying calm.
"It's the most uncomplicated thing in the world. You're lazy.
Don't.
Greedy.
Don't.
Resentful.
Not in front of Eulalie.
Cruel, isn't it? Almost as bad as telling your own daughter that you hate her name.
Well, I've needed to be cruel for a long time, but I've been a coward.
Not anymore. I'm going to do what I needed to do a year ago, and I'm doing it here in front of your daughter so you understand that it is final."
Eulalie had taken her head from her mother's shoulder and was staring up at her as she spoke. His eyes flicked to his daughter, then back to his wife.
"Don't. I'm sorry. Goodbye, Irving."
She walked away. Only his daughter looked back, watching him over her mother's shoulder, eyes filled with tears. Irving watched them leave, hands hanging limply at his side. Nowhere to go, he wandered back into Luna Park, into the cacophony of tinny music on a maddening, endless cycle, into the smell of fairy floss and sweat and machine grease and the clown swallowing him while...
"Warning, warning, warning. These memories are property of the Mobius Group. Report immediately to your nearest Thanks for the Memories franchise for memory realignment. Bleep, 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 bleep. Warning, warning, warning. These memories are property of the Mobius Group. Report immediately to your nearest Thanks for the Memories franchise for memory realignment. bleep, 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 bleep.
No. Irving woke himself with a moan. No. He switched off the alarm and dismissed the message flashing on retina. He lay back on the bed, stared at the off-white ceiling. Moonlight and streetlight ebbed through the slatted window. The hum of the building's hydrogen generator drifted up from below. He took control of his breathing, the rise and fall of his chest slowing. No. The ubiquitous double happiness ideogram split in two as the doors opened for Irving. The room inside was gloomy, thick with incense. A cymbal and discordant pipes of traditional Chinese music played softly from hidden speakers, and overhead, red lanterns swung slightly on a breeze Irving couldn't feel. A young Chinese man in a traditional straight-collared suit sat behind a dark wood reception desk. Said Irving. My exo-memory told me I had an appointment. The receptionist stood and bowed. Mr. Kupferman, Omissioner Zhao is waiting for you. Follow me. Irving tried to bow back, but the young man had already disappeared down the dim, red-tinted corridor. Irving was shown through a dark redwood door carved with stylistic eastern dragons with large, wild eyes. The receptionist closed the door behind Irving, leaving him in an even darker room. It took his eyes a moment to adjust. Within the gloom lay a traditional study with dark, wood-paneled walls, interspersed with red scrolls marked with calligraphy. There were white and blue porcelain pots sitting on plinths, leather-bound books along the back wall, a golden bust of some old Chinese guy with a receding hairline in one corner, and in the middle of it all, an even older Chinese man sitting cross-legged on a woven mat with arms crossed, hands hidden in dark blue silk sleeves. The old man had a strand of gray hair clinging to his chin. His eyes were closed. Irving hesitated, wondering for a moment whether he'd caught the old bugger sleeping.
Kupferman, Xian Sheng,
the old man intoned in a thick Chinese accent.
Please, sit.
Irving jumped a little. On second glance, the man's eyes were open, sparkling slivers in a lined old face, fixed on him. Irving stutter-stepped forward.
Omissioner Zhao?
The old man bowed.
I don't remember making this appointment.
But you have a problem, said the omissioner.
It wasn't a question. Yeah, I've got a problem.
Sit.
Irving sat, cross-legged, 3 feet from the omissioner.
Tea?
Irving shook his head. The omissioner waited, face inscrutable. It took Irving a long half minute to realize the old man was waiting for him to speak. He cleared his throat, irritated by the incense.
It's about a memory I've sold to an extraction service.
Still, the old man waited. Irving continued. The memory is coming back, and I... He paused. It felt like he was making confession. I'm worried about others I've sold. I think things may have gotten a little out of control. I had this life with my wife. I mean, lunch with my wife. She mentioned this incident in Luna Park, which I couldn't remember at first, but which I've started to dream about. A hand appeared from within the omissioner's sleeve.
Your memory pin, please, Mr. Kupferman.
Irving's mouth tightened. The old man waited, gnarled hand extended. Irving sighed. He put his finger to his cochlear implant and murmured the password. A quiet click sounded, and the memory pin popped out of the steel. He plucked it between thumb and forefinger
and handed it to the omissioner. Zhao unclipped a dark green bracelet from his wrist and unfurled it, revealing a latest model flexi-screen. 1 foot square, paper-thin, soft glowing green. The omissioner placed the memory pin on it and hid his hands back within his sleeves. The ancient lines of the old man's face were lit up by reflected green as ideograms and graphs flowed across the screen. After a minute of looking through the data, the man's disposition changed completely. He took his hands from his sleeves, stopped squinting, and pulled a pack of cigarettes from a hidden pocket.
"Dear, oh dear, so you're a Johnny," he said, in a suddenly broad Australian accent.
He lit his cigarette with a chrome lighter and snapped it shut, throwing it on the floor in front of him.
"A what?" asked Irving.
The omissioner blew a cloud of smoke upwards.
"You know, a memory hooker, an autoamnesiac, selling off those crystal-clear seminal life moments to the ruling class. A Johnny."
Irving paused, trying to get past the incongruity of the broad Australian accent coming out of the old Chinese guy's mouth.
"What? What is this? What game are you playing here?"
"Whatever do you mean?" the old man replied, with a half-smile that suggested he knew exactly what Irving meant. Irving pointed an open hand at the room.
"This game."
"This," said the omissioner, letting his gaze roam around the gloom.
"This is all part of the Mysteries of the East surcharge."
When he said Mysteries of the East, his accent switched for a moment from Australian back to Chinese.
"Mysteries of the East? Mysteries of the East, mate. Rich bastards don't come here just for science. They want a mythic flourish from an ancient civilization. So I charge them extra for their ignorance and give them the same service they'd get from any other memory expert."
But everyone says the role of the omissioner is an ancient Chinese tradition."
"Oh yeah, sure, mate. Thousands of years ago, China had the omissioners. Their sole responsibility was to remind the emperor of important traditions or precedents."
Zhao took a drag on his cigarette, blew the smoke upwards.
"But many other cultures had something similar. In pre-Islamic Arabia, people known as Rawis were attached to poets as official memorizers. For centuries, the Jews had the Tanaim, who memorized oral law. All cultures, more or less, have had memory experts attached to the elite. The advent of the printing press, books, and libraries changed all that. They democratized exo-memory for the masses. For a couple of centuries, anyway. Until the invention of the cochlear glyph and the subsequent epidemic of memory decline that has made good recall the rarest of commodities. These days, the virtuosos of natural memory like me..." An ironic grin touched Zhao's lips. "Well, mate, I'm the darling of the elite."
Zhao pointed at Irving with the end of his cigarette.
"But you ain't the elite. You ain't a repeat customer. You're a Johnny. Your wealth has come from selling off your personal history, right?
Well, and you're here to ask me to fix the dog's breakfast you've made of the inside of your head, yes?"
"Well, yes, there's this..."
"Then you're here to ask me to fix the unfixable. I see people like you all the time. Bloody idiots, one and all. You got no other source of income, right?"
Irving started to deny it, out of instinct, but he relented and shook his head no.
"Then I can't prescribe a way out of this for you. To fix the damage you've done, to reclaim some of the fragments of these lost memories, I'll need time. Months. But even if you could afford me, the memories I'd reconstruct would mostly be copyrighted. So that's no good."
He took another drag, glittering eyes fixed on Irving. "You could purchase the memories of others in order to improve your overall brain function, of course. But I'm not a butcher. I don't trade in the prime cuts of the personal histories of the desperate." Irving decided to focus on the only part of the little speech that could help him. "How would other people's memories help?"
"You don't know?"
asked the omissioner, with a hint of surprise.
"It's... Irving rubbed at his eye. He knew this. On the tip of my tongue. You don't remember. Of course you don't. How could you? After all the things those bastards have done to you. The omissioner had let his anger show for a moment, but he stubbed it out with his cigarette in the ashtray in front of him. Zhao took a long breath and then said, When you sell a memory to the ruling class, you're not simply selling one of your experiences. I mean, that's part of it. Having their subconscious integrate someone else's experience as their own. The human brain is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Takes a distinct event from someone else's life, and with a little nudging from technology and a good night's sleep, absorbs it as one of its own. But what you're really selling is the vitality and emotion of that experience. The power of these memories is such that when you experience them, they increase the strength and number of synaptic connections in your neural pathways. The rich need this more than anyone, because nearly all of them are constantly editing their histories for everything, relationships, jobs, family, making their lives seem superior to that of regular people. Bloody hell. Some of them have a bad day. They'll erase it and replace it with a good one. In the end, you get a kind of mass delusion among the 1%. Half their lives are based on vivid memories they've bought from Johnnies like you. So they become ever more dependent on top-of-the-line exo-memory to fabricate visual recordings and forge a consistent life narrative. In turn, they become less and less reliant on their own brains to encode new memories, and unused, those pathways atrophy. Zhao took a long drag on his smoke and blew out a long, slow cloud, watching it as it curled its way to the ceiling. Sigh. There it is, mate. That's why they pay so handsomely for your memories. Not just for the experience, but to repair brain damage. Irving felt the dread sitting on his chest, making it hard for him to breathe. How bad, Zhao? How much have I lost? The omissioner pointed at Irving's memory pin, sitting on the flexi screen. I can't tell you what memories you've lost. Not at a glance, anyway. What can you tell me, then? How many memories you've sold? Irving's breath came harder. Well then, how many? 219. It felt like a punch in the chest. Fuck me. That's bad, isn't it? Mate, it's as bad as it gets. Can I buy memories, like you said, help repair the damage? The omissioner shook his head. You're remembering for them wholesale, but they're selling at retail. If you've got no income other than selling memories, then you're nothing more than a snake eating its own tail. And you? No. I'm not going to recraft your life into some sort of delusion. That's what mercenaries like Thanks for the Memories do. That's simply replacing one form of mental illness, dementia, for another, psychosis. My methods are more sophisticated than those butchers. They're also much more expensive. Can you do anything for me? Asked Irving, voice strained. Omissioner Zhao seemed oblivious. Prescribe you Alzheimer's medication. It'll stabilize your condition. Maybe even allow for a partial improvement. You'll never be the way you were. But so long as you don't sell any more memories, you should leave a relatively normal life. Relatively? Well, like I said, you have low-grade Alzheimer's. You're mildly intellectually impaired. What the fuck? Zhao paused for a moment. Apologies. I tend to be less polite with people who won't remember my rudeness. The old man held out his cigarettes. Fag? Irving shook his head. Drink? Yeah, Irving said with a sigh. Yeah, I could use one. The old man hopped up, far more sprightly than Irving would have guessed,
and disappeared through a bead curtain in a dark corner of the room. As he did so, Irving saw that the omissioner had no cochlear glyph implant behind his ear. It had been a long time since he'd met someone unplugged. Zhao returned soon after with a bottle of amber liquid and two tumblers. The omissioner settled down again across from Irving, poured them each three fingers. Irving downed his in a single hit. It burned his throat, but not too much, and relieved a little of the tension in his chest.
"I could go back to work," said Irving. "Nanotech pays well, if you stick with it."
"I could make enough to afford even you."
He smiled weakly. Zhao poured Irving another whiskey.
"No." "No?"
What smile Irving had faded.
"Impossible."
"Why?"
The omissioner finished his whiskey, eyes on Irving.
"Imagination, that's why. If you went back to work, you'd be largely reliant on exo-memory. And exo-memory never made a new discovery or developed a new idea. It doesn't have the rich associations of a natural memory. Cannot accrete the layers of knowledge, interacting with each other, which give birth to an original idea. Memory is an act of creativity. The ability to form connections between disparate memories, build something new with them, and hurl it into the future so it becomes a poem, or a dance, or a nanotech innovation. And you, Irving, you've pretty much lost your ability to create future memory. You used to be good at nanotech. That's gone now. You can't get that back."
Irving stared at the glass in his hand. He gave a sigh that included his shoulders and said,
"Well, I want to keep what I've got left, including the one I have of my daughter."
His throat closed a little when he said daughter.
"Sorry, mate, but you won't be able to do even that. You keep remembering copyrighted memories, you'll get 3 years in jail, and a fine so big, you'll be out on the street."
Zhao waved his cigarette absently in the air.
"You could leave the country, if you're that desperate. A few countries left don't have memory copyright. Belize has great beaches."
Irving looked up at him.
"Belize? Belize. Fuck Belize."
Zhao shrugged.
"Fuck Belize right in the ass. That's probably overdoing it."
Irving picked his whiskey up, and then put it down again, unsipped. "What are my other options?"
"Options, chief,"
Zhao said, eyes narrowing.
"You're all out of options. You're a fly, struggling in their web. Being aware of this fact is largely irrelevant. They'll get what they want from you, one way or another. You resist, you'll go to jail, and the judgment against you will include enforced reclamation of that stolen property."
Zhao placed a finger on his own temple.
"Sitting there inside your head. And the government ain't as careful extracting memories as the recall companies. It can get messy."
Irving was silent. He let the words sting him, let the sting linger.
"Unless..."
Zhao trailed off. His eyes bored right into Irving, searching for something.
"Unless..."
The omissioner took a long drag of his cigarette.
"Unless you settle for the only thing you can really get now. Revenge."
"Revenge? Against who?"
"Mate, against the mercenaries that built this edifice of mnemonic servitude to the rich. Against the recall companies."
Irving stroked his long, curved nose. Revenge was such an exhausting pastime.
"Maybe. I don't know."
"What else have you got?" asked the omissioner. "Your family and career are gone."
Irving narrowed his eyes.
"What was that about you being rude again?"
"I'm just being straight with you, mate."
Irving was silent as he turned it all over in his mind. Ondine, looking at him, her face creased with contempt, and Eulalie, water-blurred eyes, uncomprehending at the creeping neglect of his fatherhood. Eulalie. If he could have been a good father, all the other failures wouldn't have mattered. Everything else was bullshit. If only. And he thought about the recall companies. Yeah, them most of all. With their spacious marble receptions and employees with perfect white teeth and franchises popping up in every city, every suburb even. On the back of his dreams, his experiences, his essence. Commodified as a plaything for the lucky rich. They were the ones who had done all this. Brought him to this. Reduced him to this. Tore his family apart for profit. Irving fixed his gaze on Zhao. Maybe you're right. Maybe revenge is exactly what I want. The omissioner leaned towards him. Yes. Good. Now, if this works out, you won't remember doing it. Perfect. From a certain perspective, yes. I'll fix it so you won't remember this conversation. You also won't remember that thanks for the memories stole your life, or that you got revenge for all they've done. What point then, Irving? How does this act exist if you cannot remember it? Irving downed the last of his whiskey, cleared his throat. Let's not get metaphysical here, omissioner. The tree still falls in the forest. The world still exists outside the boundaries of my skull. And if I make these motherfuckers pay, well, they are going to pay. Zhao nodded, eyes twinkling. Good. You're going to have to go to thanks for the memories. Have the proprietary product you are re-remembering wiped. And sell them one more legit memory. Irving shook his head immediately. No, I'm done with it. They can take back Luna Park, but no more. I've lost too much of myself. You've just got through telling me I'm going to end up a retard. Dementia. Whatever. I've done enough damage. Time to draw a line under it. Just one more, mate. It's the only way to do it. This lunch you had recently, where your wife talked about Luna Park. It has to go. Why? Because it is part of a mnemonic loop that will keep sending you back in time to Luna Park, and forward in time to me, here. We need to snip it out. Cover our tracks. Irving opened his mouth to say no, but the image came of Ondine, looking at him from across the table, her expression a mixture of sadness and pity. He rubbed at his eyes with his palms. Yeah, maybe that is one memory I could do without. Good, mate. Good, said the omissioner, eyes shining. Now, they'll be uploading more than a visual recording from your pin and a memory print from your cerebral cortex. They'll be uploading a project I've been working on for a long time. An offensively expensive virus I've commissioned. One that will bypass... Irving held up a hand. I don't care what it is, omissioner. Just so long as it works. Oh, it will work. When they take your memory, the virus will plug straight into the Kandel-U machine. It will ensure that every customer after you experiences an immediate decline in the release of certain proteins, crucial to long-term memory formation. They will suffer anterograde amnesia. Everything that happens after their trip to Thanks for the Memories will be lost. They'll still have memory pins. Yes, yes. They'll still have exo-memory. That's why it's such a cracker. It won't become immediately apparent. Not before hundreds, even thousands, have been exposed. Those infected will be increasingly reliant on a computer to tell them what day it is, where they work, whether or not they ate lunch, who their new friends are, the names of their children. They'll keep going back to recall companies, buying more memories, infecting more Kundal-U machines. We do this right.
The whole system of memories trickling up to the rich, of the disparate, selling off chunks of their own soul, will be broken. Irving laughed without humor. And here I was thinking I'd never achieve anything in this life. Zhao watched Irving through the glass, doing a stunned kind of shuffle, following his vulture nose down the sidewalk.
"Your insider at the recall center," said Zhao. "She chose well."
"Yes," replied Chang from behind the reception desk. "She knows a hopeless case when she sees one."
"He's bitter than hopeless."
Zhao continued to watch Irving walk down the street.
"He's the utterly irredeemable, still yearning for redemption."
Chang waited until Irving had disappeared from sight.
"Mr. Kupferman said you'd come to an agreement and that he wasn't to be charged for the session."
Zhao looked over at him.
"Charge him triple."
"Triple?"
"Yeah. He won't remember what it's for, and I've told his exo memory to hide it from him. Plus,"
the old man smiled, his eyes sparkling,
"it's for a good cause."
The doors to Thanks for the Memories wouldn't open. Distracted by the glare of the sun, Irving had missed the red neon sign flashing closed next to the entrance.
"Exo Memory, why is Thanks for the Memories closed? What day is it?"
"Thursday," whispered the implant. "A media release by the parent company, released 9 days ago, stated that this franchise was not located in a profitable area and was consolidating its branches to maximize economic returns for shareholders. However, multiple sources on the freeway have contradicted this, theorizing that the closure is related to several recent high-profile cases of amnesia. Shall I put the most read article from each perspective up on Retina?"
"No, no. I don't care about the details."
Irving pursed his lips. This was a nuisance. Just a couple more sales, and he would hit the target he'd set himself. 15 million, and he'd take Ondine out for dinner, reveal his newfound wealth and success. Just a couple more sales were all he needed to win his wife and daughter back.
"Exo Memory?"
"Yes, Mr. Kupferman."
"Give me directions to the nearest Thanks for the Memories franchise."